For a few days, the school could talk of little else but the attack on Mrs. Norris. Filch kept fresh in everyone's mind by pacing the spot where she had been attacked, as though the attacker might come back. Harry had seen him scrubbing the message on the wall with Mrs. Scour's all-purpose magical mess remover, but to no effect. The words still gleamed as brightly as ever on the stone. When Filch wasn't guarding the scene of the crime, he was skulking red-eyed through the corridors, lunging out at unsuspecting students and trying to put them into detention for things like breathing loudly and looking happy. Ginny Weasley seemed very disturbed by Mrs. Norris's fate. According to Ron, she was a great cat lover. "But you haven't really got to know Mrs. Norris," Ron told her bracingly. "Honestly, we're much better off without her." Ginny's lip trembled. "Stuff like this doesn't often happen at Hogwarts," Ron assured her. "They'll catch the maniac who did it and have him out of here in no time. I just hope he's got time to petrify Filch before he's expelled." "I'm only joking," Ron added hastily, as Ginny blanched. The attack had also had an effect on Hermione. It was quite usual for Hermione to spend a lot of time reading, but she was now doing almost nothing else. Nor could Harry and Ron get much response from her when they asked her what she was up to. Not until the following Wednesday did they find out. Harry had been held back in potions, where Snape had made him stay behind to scrape tube worms off the desks. After a hurried lunch, he went upstairs to meet Ron in the library and saw Justin Finch Fletchley, the Hufflepuff boy from Herbology, coming toward him. Harry had just opened his mouth to say hello when Justin caught sight of him, turned abruptly, and sped off in the opposite direction. Harry found Ron at the back of the library, measuring his history of magic homework. Professor Binns had asked for a 3-foot-long composition on the Medieval Assembly of European Wizards. "I don't believe it. I'm still 8 inches short," said Ron furiously, letting go of his parchment, which sprang back into a roll. "And Hermione's done 4 feet 7 inches, and her writing's tiny." "Where is she?" asked Harry, grabbing the tape measure and unrolling his homework. "Somewhere over there," said Ron, pointing along the shelves, "looking for another book. I think she's trying to read the whole library before Christmas." Harry told Ron about Justin Finch Fletchley running away from him. "Don't know why you care. I thought he was a bit of an idiot," said Ron, scribbling away, making his writing as large as possible. "All that junk about Lockhart being so great." Hermione emerged from between the bookshelves. She looked irritable and at last seemed ready to talk to them. "All the copies of Hogwarts of History have been taken out," she said, sitting down next to Harry and Ron. "And there's a 2-week waiting list. I wish I hadn't left my copy at home, but I couldn't fit it in my trunk with all the Lockhart books." "Why do you want it?" said Harry. "The same reason everyone else wants it," said Hermione, "to read up on the legend of the Chamber of Secrets." "What's that?" said Harry quickly. "That's just it. I can't remember," said Hermione, biting her lip. "And I can't find the story anywhere else." "Hermione, let me read your composition," said Ron desperately, checking his watch. "No, I won't," said Hermione, suddenly severe. "You've had 10 days to finish it." "I only need another 2 inches. Come on." The bell rang. Ron and Hermione led the way to History of Magic, bickering. History of Magic was the dullest subject on the schedule. Professor Binns, who taught it, was their only ghost teacher, and the most exciting thing that ever happened in his class was his entering the room through the blackboard. Ancient and shriveled, many people said he hadn't noticed he was dead. He simply got up to teach one day and left his body behind him in an armchair in front of the staff room fire. His routine has not varied in the slightest ever since. Today was as boring as ever. Professor Binns opened his notes and began to read in a flat drone, like an old vacuum cleaner, until nearly everyone in the class was in a deep stupor, occasionally coming to long enough to copy down a name or a date, then falling asleep again. He had been speaking for half an hour when something happened that had never happened before. Hermione put up her hand. Professor Binns, glancing up in the middle of a deadly dull lecture on the International Warlock Convention of 1289, looked amazed. Miss... Granger, Professor. I was wondering if you could tell us anything about the Chamber of Secrets, said Hermione, in a clear voice. Dean Thomas, who'd been sitting with his mouth hanging open, gazing out of the window, jerked out of his trance. Lavender Brown's head came off her arms, and Neville Longbottom's elbow slipped off his desk. Professor Binns blinked. My subject is history of magic, he said in a dry, wheezy voice. I deal with the facts, Miss Granger, not myths and legends. He cleared his throat with a small noise like chalk snapping and continued. In September of that year, a subcommittee of Sardinian sorcerers... He stuttered to a halt. Hermione's hand was waving in the air again. I am going to ask you to stop using chat because it's really hard for me to monitor it and read at the same time. Thank you. Miss Grant? Please, sir, don't legends always have a basis in fact? Professor Binns was looking at her in such amazement. Harry was sure no student had ever interrupted him before, alive or dead. Well... So if I see the chat used again, I will turn it off, said Professor Binns slowly. Yes, one could argue that, I suppose. He peered at Hermione as though he had never seen a student properly before. However, the legend of which you speak is such a very sensational, even a ludicrous, tale. By now, the whole class was hanging on Professor Binns' every word. He looked dimly at them all. Every face turned towards his. You could tell he was completely thrown by such an unusual show of interest. Oh, very well, he said slowly. Let me see. The Chamber of Secrets. You all know, of course, that Hogwarts was founded over 1,000 years ago. The precise date is uncertain. By the four greatest witches and wizards of the age. The four schoolhouses are named after them all. Godric, Gryffindor. Helga, Hufflepuff. Rowena, Ravenclaw. And Salazar, Slytherin. They built this castle together, far from prying muggle eyes, for it was an age when magic was feared by common people, and witches and wizards suffered much persecution. He paused, gazed blearily around the room, and continued. For a few years, the founders worked in harmony together, seeking out youngsters who showed signs of magic and bringing them to the castle to be educated. But then, disagreements sprang up between them. A rift began to grow between Slytherin and the others. Slytherin wished to be more selective about the students admitted to Hogwarts. He believed that magical learning should be kept within all magic families. He disliked taking students of Muggle parentage, believing them to be untrustworthy. After a while, there was a serious argument on the subject between Slytherin and Gryffindor, and Slytherin left the school. Professor Binns paused again, pursing his lips, looking like a wrinkled old tortoise. Reliable historical sources tell us this much, he said. But these honest facts have been obscured by the fanciful legend of the Chamber of Secrets. The story goes that Slytherin had built a hidden chamber in the castle, of which the other founders knew nothing. Slytherin, according to the legend, sealed the Chamber of Secrets so that none would be able to open it until his own true heir arrived at the school. The heir alone would be able to unseal the Chamber of Secrets, unleash the horror within, and use it to purge the school of all who were unworthy to study magic. There was silence as he finished telling the story, but it wasn't the usual sleepy silence that filled Professor Binn's classes. There was an unease in the air, as everyone continued to watch him, hoping for more. Professor Binns looked fairly annoyed. The whole thing is arrant nonsense, of course, he said. Naturally, the school has been searched for evidence of such a chamber many times, by the most learned wizards and witches. It does not exist. A tale told to frighten the gullible. Hermione's hand was back in the air. Sir, what exactly do you mean by horror within the chamber? That is believed to be some sort of monster which the heir of Slytherin alone can control, said Professor Binns in his dry, reedy voice. The class exchanged nervous looks. I tell you, the thing does not exist, said Professor Binns, shuffling his notes. There is no chamber and no monster. But, sir, said Seamus Finnegan, if the chamber can only be opened by Slytherin's true heir, no one else would be able to find it, would they? Nonsense, oh flattery, said Professor Binns in an aggravated tone. If a long succession of Hogwarts headmasters and headmistresses haven't found the thing. But Professor, piped up Parvati Patel, you'd probably have to use dark magic to open it. Just because a wizard doesn't use dark magic doesn't mean he can't, Miss Pennyfeather, snapped Professor Binns. I repeat, if the likes of Dumbledore... But maybe you've got to be related to Slytherin, so Dumbledore couldn't, began Dean Thomas. But Professor Binns had enough. That will do, he said sharply. It is a myth. It does not exist. There is no shred of evidence that Slytherin ever built so much as a secret broom cupboard. I regret telling you such a foolish story. We will return, if you please, to history, to solid, believable, verifiable fact. And within 5 minutes, the class had sunk back into its usual torpor.